Hello and welcome to the Bellingham Real Estate Podcast. I'm Paul. I'm here with Oksana. Welcome, Oksana.
Hi, thank you.
And today we are talking about first-time homebuyers and first-time homebuyer programs. We're going to cover more about you and then also first-time homebuyer programs, first-time homebuyer tips. It's a lot of good stuff. So let's just get it rolling. So welcome, Oksana. Now, how long have you been in real estate?
It's been 2 years.
2 years.
On July 30th.
Nice. Very good. Two wonderful years. And one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is because when you first joined us, about 2 months into joining us, you said, Paul, I want to host a first-time homebuyer class. And I was like, wow, that's for just coming on for 2 months ago. That is, you know, something. So what prompted you to want to do that after just, you know, most people a year, 2 years, then they say, okay, I want to start hosting classes. But right away, and we did it. We did a first-time homebuyer class. A couple years ago. We did.
And that was a really exciting and great opportunity for me and for anybody who's interested in buying a home. The main motivation for that was before I became a licensed agent, I already purchased two homes. Mm-hmm. And having the experience on the client side, and then now as an agent, I'm able to give a lot of tips and things that I wish I had when I was purchasing my first home. Just because that process is kind of nerve-wracking and it's all brand new. It's a new step and that's really life-altering. And I feel like I wasn't really educated along the way. And it's something I wish I had.
Yeah.
And so starting out, I knew that I would be working with a lot of first-time buyers and to be able to provide an in-depth video where we had, you know, myself as an agent on, and we had somebody from escrow and a really educated loan officer. We were able to put together a really, really good informative class for anybody that is just starting out.
Yeah. Yeah. And how old were you when you bought your first home?
22.
That's really, really good. That's amazing. So you said when you bought your first house, your experience was you just feel like you didn't understand what was happening. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, and maybe I'm just not remembering.
I think the realtor just wasn't very good.
I mean, I was following the steps. I was doing what I was supposed to. But I didn't really understand the why behind it or like where we were in the step, how long each step takes. Like, for example, when you're writing an offer and waiting for a response, those first couple of days are kind of intense and busy. And then once that offer gets accepted, then you're now working with a lender. And there's like a break in between having like constant contact with your agent.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it sounds really basic, but you know, as a first-time buyer, you're not really understanding why that agent is withdrawing.
Yeah.
Like, where did he go? I know what's going on.
Yeah. That's fair.
It sounds, you know, now as an agent, it's like it
you
sounds
understand.
Like common knowledge.
Yeah.
But as somebody who's going through it for the first time, you're not really understanding that.
That makes perfect sense.
And so just communicating the basics to your buyer, I think is really important.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So we'll get into some of the programs, but when you work with a first-time homebuyer, I think most realtors love working with first-time homebuyers.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you like about working with first-time homebuyers?
Just be able to provide that service that I wish I had. And that's something I appreciate about being with Donald Scott and having the tools that we do, because we have so many really great, you know, books, and we have graphs and visuals. That way, you know, we go over that at the consultation, and then we can reference back to you and say, this is where we're at. We're in step two, step three, step four. And it kind of takes them around the circle explaining, you know, the entire process.
Right.
That's what I love.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And what I think is also great about first-time homebuyers is, you know, that's why we do this, right? Is mm-hmm. we're bringing homeownership to people.
Yeah.
So, and nobody gets more excited about the closing than the first time home buyer when they're moving in. And so it's just a very, you know, rewarding kind of circumstance. But I agree with you that it also helps to have good visual, good content to provide them. And mm-hmm. we definitely have that. Speaking of content, I read a stat that 34% of the buyers in 2021 were first-time home buyers, which is pretty cool. I would have thought it would have been lower. I would have thought it would have been 20 or 25%. I think they classify first-time home buyers as anybody who hasn't owned in 3 years. So I guess they're not all like truly first-time home buyers, but for that sake, you have 35%. I would assume, I bet it was lower the first half of this year, right? Mm-hmm. But I bet the second half of the year, it might even be higher because now we're having approximately 60% of homes selling in the first 30 days, whereas the first half of the year, we were having 80% of homes selling in the first 30 days. So more selection again. And you mentioned the buyer process, right? Mm-hmm. It's like a first-time home buyer. They're just trying to, you know, understand what's going on, be on top of things and process things. And when things are moving so quickly and everything's bidding up so high and everything's cash and wave everything, it's mm-hmm. hard for them to compete. So having contingencies coming back into play where we can ask for a home inspection, mm-hmm. we can ask for a financing contingency, those kind of things, and letting them be able to think about the house for 24 hours.
Definitely.
It's a better market again for first time home buyers.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And then realizing that, you know, with rental rates going up like crazy, mm-hmm. most home buyers are realizing that they can pay about the same or even less for a mortgage. And so if they're paying that much for cost of living, you might as well put it towards your own home.
Yeah. And I mean, another thing I remember, one of the first time buyer classes that I was in, the loan officer was talking about how a couple factors that people don't think about. Well, there's the tax credit, you know, the interest deduction. And then also it's like, if you're a first time home buyer, presumably your income is rising. And when you get into a mortgage, now you have kind of a fixed mortgage other than property taxes or whatever. Whereas rents just keep going up. So even if they're kind of close to about the same, mm-hmm. it makes a lot of sense to own, just because over time, you know, you're not constantly dealing with essentially your rent continuing to increase because rents have increased just as rapidly as home prices have in Bellingham, like you're saying.
For sure. Like when I bought my first home, I remember my mortgage was only $550.
Oh my gosh. It sounds like you're like a 75-year-old and you're like, I used to go up the hill both ways and it was pay a nickel for $550.
Yeah. And then in 2 years I built up that equity.
Where was this? This
in
was
Ferndale.
In Ferndale? Oh.
In Ferndale. And then was a couple of years afterwards, I built up that equity that I put towards a house, you know? So that's one example of the benefits of owning something, you know, having a low payment and then building equity that you don't have to like go out and get a second job for, you know, it's like money already sitting there.
Well, maybe a better way to say this is I can't believe how much inflation we've had because you're so young. And so to think about you renting something for $550 and that's only a few years ago, and you could not rent anything in Ferndale for $550 now.
A studio in Bellingham's at least $1,000 right now.
Minimum. I mean, I have a client who's renting a two bedroom, 900 square foot little cottage duplex for $2,400.
Crazy. Wow.
Yeah. It's really nice. And so talk to us about some of the programs out there. So if you're a first time home buyer and you're kind of trying to navigate, because not every lender offers every program. Right. So it's important for a buyer to really look into everything and then talk to a couple of loan officers, but talk to us about a couple of the programs out there.
Yeah. So the first, question that a lot of buyers have is, you know, wondering if they could afford it. And the biggest impression someone gets is like thinking that they have to have a lot of money down in order to qualify. And that is not correct. So there are, you know, about 3 0 down loan options that buyers have. So the first one would be like a USDA loan that is great for a single person or a family with one income, because those don't allow a co-signer, but you know, you do have the option to have, you know, zero down. And the second one would be a bond loan. So where the state of Washington will finance your down payment of up to 5%. And that loan, you know, the rate can either be 0% or a very low percentage. Mm-hmm. And then another loan option is for someone who's in the military or is a vet. That one also has zero down options and a little bit more flexible with the debt to income ratio. And they do qualify for some manufactured homes. So there's a lot of options there. But if a family has been saving or somebody has been saving and they do have, you know, money to put down, there are a couple of low down payment options. The first one is an FHA loan that will allow as low as 3.5%. Those down payments can be gifted.
Yeah.
And then as well as a conventional loan, which is as low as 3%. And then between 3 and 5% can be gifted as well.
And with FHA, USDA, and VA, you can do manufactured homes. But when we say manufactured homes, it's important to give the distinction of this isn't in a mobile home park. It would be, you know, it would be in a, it would be a tie down to its own land, which,
absolutely,
you know, built after 1978.
Yes.
But that's a big deal because if you're looking around Whatcom County, and say you want to be under 500,000 and you want to have a little property, that's most of the option, you know?
Exactly. And especially, you know, like for example, USDA loan, they do have loan limits. Mm-hmm. And so even though they do have a lot of the benefits for first time buyers, you do have to look at the, you know, the fine print and have a loan officer explain the pros and cons of each one.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say, again, I mentioned this earlier, but I really highly recommend that first-time homebuyers talk to, do their own exploring on these programs, FHA, USDA, state bond, and then talk to a couple loan officers because not every bank and lender offer all of these programs. And then some of the loan officers, even that do, if they don't like doing it or they aren't very versed in it, they don't go out of their way to offer it. It's really interesting. When you're kind of a resale buyer doing 20% down, everybody's got all the stuff. But with these first-time homebuyer programs, there's definitely lenders and loan officers who specialize in these more than others. And for, I mean, sure. I know that you work with some fabulous ones.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, anything else you wanted to share about kind of first-time homebuyer programs, anything else like that, or tips or tricks or anything like that? I mean, one thing I wanted to make sure we touched on was is kind of the process, you know, and the trade-offs, the 85% rule. Do you want to maybe talk about that?
Yeah. So, you know, home buying is a nerve-wracking as it is. And then it's easy for someone to kind of get carried away with their entire wish list. And one thing we know, you know, we mentioned to all buyers, whether you're a first-time buyer or this is your fifth home, we like to focus on the 85% rule. You know, no home is going to be 100% perfect, even if you custom build it. You know, we realized a few months down into ownership, we start making little tweaks here and there. And so when you sit down with me to talk about, you know, your first time purchase, I'll, you know, take you through the steps and we'll write down your must-haves and then like-to-haves. And I'll take you through that process. But definitely, we focus on that 85% rule.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where people, they kind of have, they have a list that they think of, and it is hard. This is one of the great things that realtors do for, especially first time home buyers, is it's hard for them usually to figure out, okay, I want this, but I can't get this. And so where am I going to find the sweet spot where I can get the most amount of what I want, you know, and still in my budget. And that's not always the easiest thing to navigate because there's location, there's square footage, there's the, you know, there's all the different variables of how you search and what you're looking at. And if you're not looking in the right place, you're missing other opportunities. And so, yeah, that's something really important that a good realtor is going to do for you is help you kind of figure out what the best trade-offs are for you.
Absolutely. I mean, for example, when I was buying my first condo, I knew that I wanted a house eventually. But, you know, as a single person, I couldn't qualify for that amount. And so I used the condo as a stepping stone. So I knew I wanted to own a house eventually, but the condo was like an entry point for me into ownership. And then from that point, I was able to, you know, buy the house.
Yeah.
So just kind of think outside the box, you know, talk with your lender, talk with your agent, and, you know, have those experts be your, you know, provide you with all the options, and then you choose which one's best for you.
So any final tips before we sign off for first-time homebuyers?
So if you are someone who has a goal to own one day, even if it's a year from now, the biggest tip is to sit down with a loan officer and have them do a financial scan. So have them check your credit score, evaluate your debt to income ratio, just because it's a really great starting point. And then if you do have something on your credit report, they do work with agencies to help you clear up anything that might prevent you from owning. And then they'll give you some tips on how to boost up your credit score and how to qualify for the best rate.
That is such a good tip because it sounds obvious, but it's one of those things where almost every first-time homebuyer we ever talk to, they always wait until when they're ready to actually go through that process, when really even before they're ready to buy, 6 months, a year before, like you said, getting that process going is huge. So absolutely good call. So thank you for joining us, Oksana. You can reach out to her. We'll put some links to the State Bond Program and all of that on the YouTube channel and on Buzzsprout. And thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Cheers, guys.